I'm Fresh, and you are now listening to The Breaks Podcast. These are highlights from our Saturday night hip-hop show on KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. My co-host Confucius Jones and I are native Austinites, and we love talking hip-hop, Texas hip-hop, hip-hop history, and what's going on right now. And just so you know, the opinions expressed in the podcast are our own and do not necessarily reflect the position of KUTX Austin. We're here to take over the airways, no matter where you're from or where you stay.
So if anybody knows me, they know I love pettiness, right? I like to refer to myself as
Petty Tendergrass.
There you go, Petty Tendergrass. So when I see a good high level of pettiness, I appreciate it. So I don't really watch Love & Hip Hop because why? I do know that B2K, they had their tour, Millennium Tour this year. There were some little disagreements, but Omarion and Little Fizz, who are members of B2K, they claim to be friends. They were on Love & Hip Hop together at one point.
Thought they were all friends at one point.
I don't think they're all friends at one point. I don't think they like Razz B at all. But so Omarion has two children with this woman named April. They're not together anymore currently. So in recent, the last, I don't know, month or so, April has started dating Little Fizz. And Omarion hadn't said anything. He's been completely quiet this whole time. Everybody was like, you know, I wish I had the, you know, attitude of Omarion. He seemed unbothered. Fine, whatever. And I was like, I mean, maybe he just doesn't care. Like, you know, my kid's mother, they want to date.
What he said on Vlad. He basically said that with Vlad, that like, hey, once you reach the point where you just don't care anymore, like, things just don't bother you. And he's like,
it's funny you mentioned that.
I just don't care, man.
So I watched it when it first came out. I'm like, oh, I guess he doesn't care. But then I watched it after the news I'm about to share with you. And I looked at Omarion's face. I said, no, that's a very calculating smile he got on there. So apparently what happened was the Millennium Tour was announced again. Mm-hmm. But this time the headliner is Omarion and Bow Wow minus B2K. which goes back to my appreciation of pettiness, because Omarion knew during that Vlad interview, yeah, I'm about to go back on tour again. And guess who's not going with me? None of my old band members, including Lil Fizz, who can stay home and watch my children while I go out here and make this money.
Stay home and babysit.
Just like I read somewhere that NSYNC was planning on going back on tour without Justin Timberlake. And I said, boy, nobody's buying those tickets. I don't know Rex Center y'all going to be performing at without Justin Timberlake there. What happened to the parts? Come on. Did he have JC sing them?
Yeah, he doing double time that night.
But, yeah, man, you know, I hate. Omarion also announced the tour
on Air Fizzo's birthday.
Boy, it's just, not only do I appreciate pettiness, I appreciate levels to the pettiness. Not only do I announce that you're not going to be making any money off the tour you were just on next year.
I'm going to announce it on your birthday.
So anybody that thinks it's your birthday, it's going to be ruined. I want you to remember this moment every year. It's your birthday. Somebody go to your birthday party next year and say, man, remember that the Millennium Tour? Which was supposed to be on that? Didn't he announce it last year?
Joe Budden dubbed it Omarion Day.
I saw that. Because the Millennium Tour is one of the highest grossing tours of this year.
I'm sure it was.
And so that's not happening again. Omarion said, don't forget, I have two solo albums. How many of you got, Fizz?
Yeah, like.
And they sold well, too, because I had the first one.
Like Joe Budden said, why do you continue to pick on the man who has an extensive solo career, who had a very successful and extensive...
Can you imagine J.C. Chavez talking mess about Justin Timberlake? Like, don't make me remind you who I am.
Like, why are you doing this? Why are you choosing to pick on and mess with this person? And like, he don't need y'all to go on tour. He kind of did y'all a favor this year with putting y'all on the Millennium Tour. He could have just went up there solo by himself this year and did
as
double
he's doing
back
next year.
It didn't need to be B2K. Like, it just could have been Omarion two times.
B2K, they were one of the, you know, they were very popular and high selling.
Yeah, they were one of the highest selling boy bands
during that tenure. So I get that. And Omarion never sold the same numbers as B2K.
This is true, but
he still had two solo albums.
Two successful
ones. That's pretty well. And they also had that third one with Bow Wow, who he's got once again. You know how I feel bad for who mentioned that they want to be a part of the tour but didn't get asked to be on it? Day 26. I mean, yeah. FC Omarion, see, he should take it to another level of pain. I'd have put them on there and just say, I got a boy band, just not y'all. I'm going to have some of them come out and do the parts from B2K. Because you know you can do B2K songs. Omarion doesn't have enough hits to do an entire like hour and a half set.
I'm sure he sung lead on most of them.
He's
going to
do B2K songs. And if I was him, I definitely would. Y'all didn't sing on none of these? I don't need y'all. Otis, if you don't get back in the back, I got it.
Hit them dance moves.
What you mean? Justin Timberlake still doesn't sing songs. No, he doesn't. No, I heard he doesn't. Never mind. My wife went too. She said, no, he doesn't.
Beyonce does Destiny Child songs.
She sure do. Beyonce sure do Destiny Child songs.
She does them. She does them whether Kelly there or not.
Hey, man, look. Look. When I was the lead singer, what I don't have to do is bring y'all with me. That is a privilege, not a right.
And he's showing that.
So what do you rate this on the pettiness level between 1 and 10? I got to give it a 9. 10 would be, you know, saying it's B2K reunion and having all new people. Like Otis used to do with Temptations. Just fire everybody and just be him left. Or have Immature sing back up for
him. I give it a 9. That's a 9. To do it on his birthday, like to make the announcement.
That's petty.
I mean, you was conscious that that was his birthday. And you like, you know what? We announcing on this day.
Love it.
For sure. I'm going to make sure he see. I'm going to make sure him and her see it.
I want to go. Everybody from the early 2000s. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm down to see.
Everybody that was on Tory Lanez's Chicks Take 5.
Basically. One of my most overrated artists, I think, is Lil Uzi Vert. Not to say that he's not. See, my thing when I say overrated, it's not to say somebody's not talented or makes bad music. It's just to say that I have yet to fully understand the appeal. Like, I haven't heard anything from him by himself. Maybe be like, yeah, man, you know, this is really like a really, really talented guy. It's just, you know what I mean? Not to say he can't put out an album one day to make me change my mind, but as of right now, I'm not fully a Uzi Vert fan. He's been on some songs I like. When it comes to like solo stuff, nah. I've yet to be like just blown away. But his fans love him and they swear by him. I guess the people who don't swear by him is his record label. he's currently signed to Generation Music Group, which is run by DJ Drama and DJ Don Cannon. And their relationship with Lil Uzi Vert has been tumultuous, to say the least. And he went on a Twitter rant Thanksgiving.
Of course he did.
Called DJ Drama broke.
Was that him?
He's still up. He's still tweeting. He hadn't stopped.
I was about to say, this is not the first time this happened.
Yeah, he's been very
this happened open. Last time for his debut album.
Yeah, he went on Twitter rant. He said DJ Drama's broke. DJ Drama needs him to drop to pay his bills. My best friend Mean got more money than Drama. I swear on everything. He not even in the industry. I still got love for Don Cannon with his fake ass. you snake. I want to be just like you when I grow up. He also went on. What else? He went on a rant talking about Cardi. He said somebody asked him, "What about you and Cardi?" He said nothing. I just took a different route. As long as y'all not beefing, we happy. I'm not tough. I don't beef. We could have a friendly dress off. And then somebody else asked, "You and Cardi on good terms?" He said no. He said his former producer Molly Raw is a snake too. He tried to run off with $20,000 back in the G. Wonder how that turned out.
Yeah, a lot to get off his chest, huh?
Yeah. My thing with artists, you know, putting out their personal business like that, I always wonder, like, I get being frustrated. I understand that. I don't think there's any situation anybody in life could be in where they don't get frustrated at times. But, you know, it's usually just a fading feeling. It's just life. You know, sometimes I get annoyed with Fresh. It's just like, it's life.
It's human nature.
I'm not afraid to get on Twitter and be like, you know, I'm just tired of Fresh and all this and just... He's broke and he needs me to drop his album, whatever. Like, I'm not doing all that. So I always like, for Uzi, does he think it's gonna make his relationship with Don Cannon and Drama better?
I don't know what he's thinking, because like I said, he did this last time for his album release, and like, it didn't make the album drop any quicker. Yeah. Even with being there with Atlantic, it still didn't make the album drop any sooner than what you wanted it to drop. So like, it didn't work that time. Are you banking that it'll work this time?
When you see artists lash out like that at their label or at the people who signed them, if those people who signed them are like kind of personalities in their own right, what ends up happening is you see, as time goes on, it's sometimes on the artist not being as productive as they were supposed to be, not fulfilling the obligations like they're asked to. Uzi Vert is notorious for not showing up at shows. Like, I mean, when Gucci Mane went on his famous Twitter rant, just went off on everybody. He now, being clean and sober, said, like, well, you know, that was just me being an a-hole. Like it wasn't, I didn't really feel that way at the time. I was on drugs and, you know, I just lashed out at everybody. It was my fault. I had to apologize to everybody. And I feel like Uzi in like a few years is going to be that artist where he's like, you know, at that time I was probably under the influence of some things and I didn't do enough to try to be a better artist and I was blaming the wrong people. Because it doesn't make sense for Drama and Don Cannon to hold him back when he's the by far the biggest artist they have. That's why I said sometimes you got to take every time an artist complains about their label with a grain of salt, because what you end up finding out is that they got into a situation they weren't fully ready for or understood. I didn't read that fine print, and they're like, holy crap. Like,
I really think that's more so what it is. Not even just with Uzi, but with a lot of the younger generation of hip-hop and even R&B. They find themselves in situations that they just aren't prepare for or don't realize how much actual work you have to do. Being in the industry isn't you, as an artist, isn't just you making the music and you just getting to make the music and just sit back.
Yeah.
You have to, there are other things and other obligations that you have to do. And I'm pretty sure that it's in the contract, but like you said, you're not reading the fine print. So you're thinking, well, I made the album, I turned it into them, why is it not being released? Well, probably things that they need you to do for that album that you just aren't fulfilling, or they ain't got the rollout ready for it. I don't know.
It could be a multitude of things. Like I said, I just know Uzi doesn't, he hasn't, you don't hear a lot of stories of Uzi being like this huge workaholic or this, you know, this hands-on artist. So I do think a lot of it comes down to, we'll hear about it later on, that he just maybe, like you said, missing studio sessions. Like I said, he's already known to miss shows. He didn't show up at ACL the first weekend when he was supposed to.
Right, and that wasn't the first big show that he missed. So.
Exactly. Uzi's also been very clear about the fact he'll do when he feels like it. You see, he ran off the Nardwar interview, so
twice.
Yeah, that's just him. You know, that's just his thing now. But you know, I'm rooting for Uzi though. Like I said, he's a talented guy. He hopefully he gets past all his drama.
It do not matter. Turn to a savage, pocket got fatter. She call me daddy. Smoking that gas, got all that sign, and she on a powder. Nowadays, I am
on. Speaking of Jake Lloyd,
he's in the building. Say what's up to the people, Jake.
What's up, y'all?
How do you feel about your stub show?
I'm excited about it, man. I feel like we got the right crew to really sell it out, and that's really what I got my heart set on. But even if we don't, obviously I'm still gonna have fun. I still think everybody's gonna kill it and do their thing, but I'm excited about it, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, so with the stub show being the topic, that is this Saturday, December 7th. Let's get on this Austin music scene. Okay. So what is the one thing that you've noticed in the past year about the scene that you are proud to say that you're a part of the Austin scene?
I've noticed that R&B, hip-hop, the urban scene is starting to break through the dough a little bit, you know? I will always say that we still got work to do. I'm never going to say we there until, I guess, we actually there. But
right
now, man, what I have noticed for sure is artists that sound and look like me are starting to get some attention. You know what I mean? And it's been slowly over the last couple of years, but I would say 2018 to 2019, and from 2019 to 2020, I've seen the last 2 years, I think I've seen the biggest push.
Okay.
Which is dope.
Do you feel like it's enough support for the urban scene? We're very vocal here that we don't think it is at all. Like we get enough. They think they give us enough, but
they give
not
us the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Right. I agree with that. I think that I don't know who necessarily they are, but I don't think that they, in quotations, air quotations, is giving as much as they could. I think they're giving enough for me to say what I just said in the last question, that some waves are being made. But like I said, man, we ain't just broke down the door, and it ain't because lack of talent. It's plenty of talent in Austin.
Yeah.
Without me, take me out the equation, got nothing to do with me. It's plenty of talent here in the urban scene to where, I mean, it can be elevated higher than, like you said, man, the support, it's cool, but it ain't enough, you know? And I don't know who's to blame for that, but it could always be more, man. I feel like artists in Austin, urban artists, have been really trying to push through, man, for a minute, so.
Speaking of support, what do you think it will take to help push the scene forward, to break that barrier? Will you think it'll take like some outside entity coming in, like, as we always make the comparison, a LaFace to Atlanta coming in, and like literally a label literally coming in and start writing checks and signing people and pushing them and just tapping into the scene itself and just saying, well, y'all pass on all the talent. This is what y'all been having. We gonna take advantage of it.
I don't know, man. I want to say, my first instinct is to say yeah. My first instinct is to say, ain't nothing really gonna change until people start seeing the stuff that they've been passing up on. You know what I mean? Now, I don't know if that necessarily means like a label coming in, but I feel like once these artists that have been here start getting even swooped up by management from other places or, you know, whatever, I feel like it's going to be like, oh, why ain't we jump on that? You know, or why, you know, the remorse. But I think for it to really change, man, I feel like somebody is going to really have to just blow out of Austin, and I feel like we got to tear down this. I don't know why the powers that be are so scared of urban. I don't know if it's the music they scared of, or it's the artist they scared of, or it's the crowd they scared of, but we gotta tear down this barrier, man, this negative connotation. So I don't know. Like I said, I ain't got the answers. I can just tell you what I think. I don't know how we achieved this, but we ain't gonna bite, bro.
I think a lot of it too just comes down, they're just scared that right. It's not gonna work the way they want it to, which is kind of sad in a sense, because, you know, worldwide urban music is like
booming,
the top selling genre. So for sure. I do think that plays a lot into it. They're like, oh, well, we don't know if it's gonna work, but it's like, it's proven itself, it could work 40 years ago,
right?
Still trying to have us go through the same hurdles that, like we said before, like hip hop had to go through in the early 80s.
Yeah.
We have to go through the same hurdles now here. It's like, we should have to prove ourselves when it's already been proven on such a massive
continuously,
scale.
Continuously, man.
And I do feel sometimes that the powers that be, it's not my interview, I'm just going to make my point. I feel like the powers that be, they also kind of know that as well, because they'll spend a lot of money to bring, like I said, a Cardi B down here to headline ACL, or they'll spend a lot of money for, you know, other big shows down here, artists to come through and do their tours here.
They understand that about urban music. They just, like you said, I don't know if they ain't fully buying into the local scene of that, but if they didn't understand urban music's reach right now, like you said, Cardi B wouldn't be down here, and all these acts wouldn't be down here.
Freddie Gibbs is here tonight.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I'm saying. Love Freddie Gibbs.
Yeah, me too.
Come on.
Gangsta Gibbs.
To me, it comes off contradictory, and Jake can give his opinion on this. It kind of comes off contradictory, because if they'll say, well, we like these artists that'll just come through on their tour because they've proven themselves, but you won't give that same attention to a local urban artist, but you'll give that same attention to a rising local folk artist or country artist or rock artist.
True.
That's rather contradictory. You've given them opportunity to have them prove themselves. You put them on ACL TV. You've had them perform at ACL Live. You've had them do ACL Fest, you had them all over the place, but you can't. Y'all gave Gary Clark Jr. the same chances. Why you can't give it to a Jake Lloyd or a Drent or a Deezy or Chief Cleopatra, all the people who will be performing this Saturday?
I see that.
I like that plug, sir.
If you're giving if you give a Black Joe Louis that same platform, why you can't give it to somebody in the urban contemporary scene?
Very true. Very, very true.
Now I feel great, I'm number one, I'm number one. Now I feel one. Great, I'm really number one. Now I feel great.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for our second segment of the night. Unpopular opinion with Mr. Fresh himself.
So this week, man, I sat and I thought about an unpopular opinion, but there were some things that went on within the rap community that just didn't sit well with me or anybody else in the rap community. So Gold Link, the rapper, songwriter out of the D.C. area, clearly he has some things to get off his chest. So earlier this week was the anniversary of the death of one Mac Miller. Gold Link and Mac Miller did have some type of relationship. I'm not going to call them friends, because what Gold Link did, I wouldn't expect anybody's friend to do after they are dead. And go, I wouldn't expect any of my friends to act like this after I have passed away. So Gold Link earlier this week took to his IG and made this long post. I guess he thought was in remembrance and dedicated and to, I guess, like flesh out the relationship between him and Mac Miller. But basically saying Mac Miller stole his idea for Divine Feminine and his song with Anderson .Paak, which was on Divine Feminine, Dang. Based off of him also, Goldlink also, one, doing a song with doing a song with Anderson .Paak, and two, making an album that was about a relationship that just didn't work out. As Anderson .Paak said later on in the week, you were not the first person to do a song with Anderson .Paak, and you were certainly not the first rapper to make an album about a relationship, in which the Divine Feminine was about two relationships. Because Mac Miller's move said that he started working on that album with a girlfriend he was living with in Brooklyn, and then they broke up, and then he got with Ariana Grande, and she also inspired the album. So, Goldlink, got you beat there, brother. And you've also somebody that's been proven that you stole from Smino, so kind of not the person to be talking about stealing ideas from. And then Goldlink later on in the week, I guess at a show he was at, decided to let everybody at said show know about how he reacted to seeing the Grammy nominees for the Best Rap Album category. And he basically was sliding 21 Savage, Meek Mill, YBN Cordae, and the Dreamville album. He praised Tyler because I guess he's really cool with Tyler, but you know, I guess he looked at, you know, he played like he had a phone in his hand and just was like, he read the nominations and he made all of these scrunched up faces at the nominations that he felt kind of shouldn't be there. And he didn't say, when he got to the part where his reaction for YBN Cordae's album, he kind of was just like, and then when I read the last name, I just was just like, man, what, really? And just, I just threw my phone on the ground, which just let me know you really salty about not being nominated for a Grammy, which is kind of conflicting because you made this long post once again when the Grammy nominations came out about how the Grammys aren't culturally relevant and how they just never get it and how we need to stop looking to the Grammys for that validation in a nutshell. But yet you react that way because you were really salty that YBN Cordae's album was nominated over yours. Sorry, it was rather a better album. Meek had a better rap album than you did. Granted, your album was great. Goldlink had a great album this year, but it wasn't better than Championships. It wasn't better than the Dreamville album. It was not better than 21 Savage's album. I would put your album in whatever imaginary category that Tyler's album should have went in, because your album wasn't really a rap album, and I really haven't really heard you make a rap album in the traditional sense of a rap album. So Goldlink rubbed most of the rap community the wrong way. A lot of people came and spoke out about calling him a weirdo. It was like, man, that was real foul what he did. What was the, like, you did all of that with no real purpose behind it, just a slight of man who's been dead a year and who's not here to speak to any of the claims that you make. That's just foul of you, especially somebody that you claim you're a friend. So like I said, my unpopular opinion isn't really an unpopular opinion. It's just to get off my disdain and the loss of respect that I now have for Goldlink. Because I did like the guy at one point, like before all of that. And then that happened, and I was just like, dang, this is the type of, you were showing the type of person you are. And that's not nobody I want.
How many mistakes do it take till you leave? And I'm left with my hand and my face all red and the face looking at you like, wait, I know I ain't a saint. If it ain't too late, well,
I can't keep on losing.
I run away so fast.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the night where we gain a little bit more knowledge than we had yesterday with the man himself. Here is Confucius Says.
Yes. So this Confucius Says is always, of course, Confucius Says is always about just different advice I try to give for things I've been through, things I've seen to try to make your life a little bit easier. This Confucius Says is basically about appreciating little things. A lot of times in life, we hone in very strongly on the negative aspects. For instance, I know people who, let's say, have gone through a bad breakup, right? But they're currently thriving in other areas. Like it's nothing wrong with feeling away about the breakup, but you can't let it take away from the other great things you're doing in life. My job right now mainly consists of me DJing, and there's a lot of times, like right now, I have a lot of hours of sleep, so I'm pushing through it. But the blessing in it is that I'm able to make money DJing, right? Me and Fresh are able to be on radio and make a living doing radio. Sometimes we allow the negative aspects to taint our view of the blessing that we have. But I said on Twitter, don't let a series of no's taint the one yes you finally get, because that yes should supersede all those no's. your one major positive to supersede all those negatives. Fresh knows, because Fresh knows me for years. I just started DJing professionally, like as for a living, like the last year or so. It was a long time. I was working 9 to 5s I didn't like. It was, I didn't have no money. I wasn't working at all. So if I had allowed those experiences to get me here and be like unappreciative of it, I don't think I'd still have this in the same position. A lot of times working in the urban music scene in Austin, we hear no's all the time. Whew, like it's draining how much you hear. So, but we do believe at one point in time there will be a big yes. And so I want to be mentally prepared for that day instead of being like, man, this should have happened 2 years ago. It's like, oh, you know what? It's happening now. Let's just work what we got and keep going from here. And sometimes, too, it makes people not want to help you out anymore. Like, if you're constantly dwelling on the negative aspect of things when people talk to you, or that's all you talk about when it's going on in your life, the people are like, I don't want to give this guy an opportunity, because if I give him an opportunity, we can find the negative in this. Like, you know what I'm saying? And there are some people like that. They see the glass half empty all the time. But, yeah, in life, man, just celebrate your wins. Let those wins tell the story of you. Don't let the defeats be the main. Don't let the defeats be the narrator of your life. Let the wins be the narrator. You can learn from the losses. You can live with them. You can live with heartbreak, financial problems. You can live with these things and move forward. Then let them kind of shape and how you move and dictate it that way. But don't let them narrate or control your life in a way. Let the yeses control them. Y'all don't know anything about me and Fresh outside. Y'all hear us on the radio every Saturday. But there's, and that, I'm fine with the narrative of my life being the host of a top-rated radio show in the city. I am not fine with y'all knowing that I was broke as hell 3 years ago working at a job I hated.
They know now.
but I'm not going to mention this every show.
Yes.
So they'll eventually go back to the radio thing. So, yeah, let your blessings be the narrator of your life, and don't let the negative control it. And that's my Confucius is.
This week for Local Song of the Week, we have Jake Lloyd and his single, Strikes. Lloyd is an Austin area native who has carved his name into the scene with his great genre-bending style. Now here is Strikes by Jake Lloyd.
I'm a man of my word. I got it for sure. I hate to be brash about things, but that's male ego. You did nothing to deserve what I gave you, but I'm gonna make it up if it's the last thing I do. I said that you would never change, and you said I would stay the same. You never came by, you never came by. If I would have known this was how it be, would have made more time for you and me. You caught me in a lie, you caught me in a lie, baby. If everything was meant to be, I must be the toilet paper, skyscraper expectations. You set me up for failure. You knew I couldn't play your game, but you still dealt the hand. I was supposed to be your man, your man. Need me a mosh pit to stomp out all these feelings I've been harboring. I anchor emotions in oceans of the deepest crevice of my mind. That's why I can't harvest it. Cause too much water I drowned it. Not enough water will shrink it. You gotta have the willpower, Jada Pinkett. Willpower, Jada Pinkett. If everything was meant to be, I must be the toilet paper, skyscraper expectations. You set me up for failure. You knew I couldn't play your game, but you still dealt the hand. I was supposed to be your man. Woo! everything was meant to be. I must be the toilet paper, skyscraper expectations. You set me up for failure. You knew I couldn't play your game, but you still dealt the hand. I was supposed to be your man.
Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks Show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at ktx.org/thebreaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown. Production support provided by Art Levy.